Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. This will be my 392nd Word for Word show. This is going to be the last show on the Apocrypha. We will be doing the book of Susanna and the book of Bel and the Dragon. Susanna is chapter 13 of the Greek version of Daniel. And Bel and the Dragon is chapter 14 of the Greek version of the book of Daniel. My website is www.pastor-steve.com. Got a lot of stuff on there, but it's not an interactive site, so I don't have any trolling problems. It's download and listen. Check it out. You'll like it. Now, in Susanna, I am going to correct. I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. They have anglicized it. Of course, they have the Lord instead of Yahweh, and they have Jews instead of Judahites. That will be corrected. I don't use the word the Lord. And I will be pronouncing the people's names in Hebrew, because they're Hebrew people. I'm going to de-anglicize it a little bit. But let's get right into this. The first subsection of Susanna is Susanna's beauty attracts two elders. This is only a two-page little book. It's small, so we'll get into this. Verse 1. There was a man living in Babylon whose name was Joachim. He married the daughter of Chilkiah named Susanna, a very beautiful woman and one who feared Yahweh. Her parents were righteous and had trained their daughter according to the law, that's the Torah, of Moshe. Joachim was very rich and had a fine garden adjoining his house. The Judahites used to come to him because he was the most honored of them all. Verse 5. That year, two elders from the people were appointed as judges. Concerning them, Yahweh had said, wickedness came forth from Babylon from elders who were judges, who were supposed to govern the people. Verse 6. These men were frequently at Joachim's house, and all who had a case to be tried came to them there. Verse 7. When the people left at noon, Susanna would go into her husband's garden to walk. Verse 8. Every day the two elders used to see her going in and walking about, and they began to lust for her. Verse 9. They suppressed their consciences and turned away their eyes from looking to heaven or remembering their duty to administer justice. Verse 10. Both were overwhelmed with passion for her, but they did not tell each other of their distress. Verse 11. For they were ashamed to disclose their lustful desire to seduce her. Verse 12. Day after day they watched eagerly to see her. Verse 13. One day they said to each other, "Let us go home, for it is time for lunch." So they both left and parted from each other. Verse 14. But turning back, they met again. And when each pressed the other for the reason, they confessed their lust. Then together they arranged for a time when they could find her alone. Now here's the next subsection. The elders attempt to seduce Susanna. Verse 15. Once, while they were watching for an opportune day, she went in as before with only two maids and wished to bathe in the garden, for it was a hot day. No one was there except the two elders who had hidden themselves and were watching her. Verse 17, she said to her maids, "Bring me olive oil and ointments and shut the garden door so that I can bathe." Verse 18. They did as she told them. They shut the doors of the garden and went out by the side doors to bring what they have been commanded. They did not see the elders because they were hiding. Verse 19. When the maids had gone out, the two elders got up and ran to her. Verse 20, they said, "Look, the garden doors are shut, and no one can see us. We are burning with desire for you, so give your consent and lie with us." Verse 21, "If you refuse, we will testify against you that a young man was with you, and this was why you sent your maids away." Now here's verse 22, and you can reference verse 22, Leviticus 20, verse 10, and Deuteronomy 22, verse 22. That's Leviticus 20, verse 10, and Deuteronomy 22, verse 22. This is verse 22 here. Susanna groaned and said, "I am completely trapped. For if I do this, it will mean death for me. If I do not, I cannot escape your hands." Verse 23. "I choose not to do it. I will fall into your hands rather than sin in the sight of Yahweh." Verse 24. Then, pardon me, Susanna cried out with a loud voice, and the two elders shouted against her. Verse 25. And one of them ran and opened the garden doors. Verse 26, when the people in the house heard the shouting in the garden, they rushed in at the side door to see what had happened to her. verse 27. And when the elders told their story, the servants felt very much ashamed, for nothing like this had ever been said about Susanna. Verse 28, and this is the elders testifying against Susanna. The next day, when the people gathered at the house of her husband, Joachim, the two elders came full of their wicked plot to have Susanna put to death. In the presence of the people, they said, verse 29, send for Susanna, daughter of Hilkiah, the wife of Joachim. Verse 30. So they sent for her, and she came with her parents, her children, and all her relatives. Verse 31. Now Susanna was a woman of great refinement and beautiful in appearance. Verse 32. As she was veiled, the scoundrels ordered her to be unveiled so that they might feast their eyes on her beauty. Verse 33. Those who were with her and all who saw her were weeping. Verse 34. Then the two elders stood up before the people and laid their hands on her head. Verse 35. Through her tears, she looked up toward heaven, or the sky, okay? For her heart trusted in Yahweh. Now they have the Lord here. I don't do the Lord. It's Yahweh. Verse 36. The elders said, while we were walking in the garden alone, this woman came in with two maids, shut the garden doors, and dismissed the maids. Verse 37. Then a young man who was hiding there came to her and lay with her. Verse 38. We were in a corner of the garden, and when we saw this wickedness, we ran to them. Verse 39. Although we saw them embracing, we could not hold the man because he was stronger than we, and he opened the doors and got away. Verse 40. We did, however, seize this woman and asked who the young man was. Verse 41. But she would not tell us. These things we testify. Okay. Because they were elders of the people and judges, the assembly believed them and condemned her to death. Verse 42. Then Susanna cried out with a loud voice, and she said, O eternal Elohim, you know what is secret and are aware of all things before they come to be. You know that these men have given false evidence against me, and now I am to die, though I have done none of the wicked things that they have charged against me. Verse 44. Yahweh heard her cry. Verse 45. Just as she was being led off to execution, Elohim stirred up the Holy Spirit of a young lad named Daniel. And he shouted with a loud voice, I want no part in shedding this woman's blood. Ooh, he stood up and countered these two elders in front of everybody. And that took some courage. Verse 47. And this is another subsection. Daniel rescues Susanna. All the people turned to him and asked, "What is this you are saying?" Verse 48. Taking his stand among them, he said, "Are you such fools, O Israelites, as to condemn a daughter of Israel without examination and without learning the facts?" Stop right here. Daughter of Israel and Israelites? That sort of negates the Anglicization in verse 4 of chapter 1 that these were Jews. They were not Jews, they were Israelites. There were no Jews involved here. This is Israel. Okay? Verse 49. Return to court, for these men have given false evidence against her. Verse 50. So all the people hurried back, and the rest of the elders said to him, "Come, sit among us and inform us, for Elohim has given you the standing of an elder." Verse 51. Daniel said to them, "Separate them far from each other, and I will examine them." Verse 52. When they were separated from each other, he summoned one of them and said to him, "You old relic of wicked days, your sins have now come home, which you have committed in the past." Verse 53, and you can reference Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. That's Exodus 23, 7. Pronouncing unjust judgments, condemning the innocent and acquitting the guilty, though Yahweh said, "You shall not put an innocent and righteous person to death." Verse 54. Now then, if you really saw this woman, tell me this. Under what tree did you see them being intimate with each other? He answered, "Under a mastic tree." All right, there's a note that goes with this. The Greek word for mastic tree and cut are similar, and this forms an ironic word play. There's going to be another one here shortly. Verse 55, and Daniel said, "Very well, this lie has cost you your head, for the messenger," they have angel here, which is incorrect, "the messenger of Elohim has received the sentence from Elohim and will immediately cut you in two." So the cut and the mastic tree make a word play. Verse 56. Then putting him to one side, he ordered them to bring the other. And he said to him, "You offspring of Canaan and not of Yehuda, beauty has beguiled you and lust has perverted your heart." 57. "This is how you have been treating the daughters of Israel, and they were intimate with you through fear. But a daughter of Yehuda would not tolerate your wickedness." All right, now that again puts the lie to the changing of the word in verse 4 of chapter 1 into Jews. They were not Jews. They were Judahites, people of Judah. Verse 58. "Now then, tell me, under what tree did you catch them being intimate with each other?" And he answered, "Under an evergreen oak." And let's stop right here. The Greek words for evergreen oak and split are similar, And this forms another ironic wordplay. Verse 59. Daniel said to him, "Very well, this lie has cost you also your head, for the messenger of Elohim is waiting with his sword to split you in two, so as to destroy you both." So there's the split and the evergreen oak. Verse 60. Then the whole assembly raised a great shout and blessed Elohim, who saved those who hope in him. Verse 61. And they took action against the two elders, because out of their own mouths Daniel had convicted them of bearing false witness. They did to them as they had wickedly planned to do to their neighbor. And verse 62, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 16 through 21. That's Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 21. Acting in accordance with the law of Moshe, they put them to death. Thus, innocent blood was spared that day. Verse 63. Hilkiah and his wife praised Elohim for their daughter Susanna, and so did her husband Joachim and all her relatives, because she was found innocent of a shameful deed. And from that day onward, Daniel had a great reputation among the people. All right, here is the next little book. And this is Bel and the Dragon. And this would be chapter 14 of the Greek version of Daniel. They've done some word substitution, and here they have the Lord and God, and once they have the word Jew. I'll fix that when we get there. We don't go along with the Anglicization. Boy, that's a tongue twister. A little coffee will help that. This is the first subsection of Bel and the Dragon. Daniel and the Priest of Bel. Verse 1. When King Astyages was laid to rest with his ancestors, Cyrus the Persian, now that would be Koresh in the Hebrew, Koresh, the Persian succeeded to his kingdom. Verse 2. Daniel was a companion of the king and was the most honored of all his friends. Verse 3, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 46, verse 1, and Jeremiah 51, verse 44. That's Isaiah 46, 1, and Jeremiah 51, 44. Verse 3, now the Babylonians had an idol called Bel. B-E-L. And every day they provided for it 12 bushels of choice flour and 40 sheep and 6 measures of wine. Now that measures is a little more than 50 gallons. Okay. Verse 4. The king revered it and went every day to worship it. But Daniel worshipped his own Elohim. So the king said to him, "Why do you not worship Bel?" Verse 5. He answered, "Because I do not revere idols made with hands, but the living Elohim who created heaven and earth and has dominion over all living creatures." Verse 6. The king said to him, "Do you not think that Bel is a living God? Do you not see how much he eats and drinks every day?" Verse 7. And Daniel laughed and said, "Do not be deceived, O king, for this thing is only clay inside and bronze outside, and it never ate or drank anything." Verse 8. Then the king was angry and called the priests of Baal and said to them, "If you do not tell me who is eating these provisions, you shall die." Verse 9. "But if you prove that Baal is eating them, Daniel shall die because he has spoken blasphemy against Baal." Daniel said to the king, "Let it be done as you have said." Verse 10. Now, there were 70 priests of Baal besides their wives and children. So the king went with Daniel into the temple of Baal. Verse 11. The priests of Baal said, "See, we are now going outside. You, yourself, O king, set out the food and prepare the wine and shut the door and seal it with your signet." Verse 12. "When you return in the morning, if you do not find that Bel has eaten it all, we will die. Otherwise, Daniel will, who is telling lies about us." Verse 13. They were unconcerned, for beneath the table they had made a hidden entrance through which they used to go in regularly and consume the provisions. Verse 14. After they had gone out, the king set out the food for Bel. Then Daniel ordered his servants to bring ashes, and they scattered them throughout the whole temple in the presence of the king alone. Then they went out and shut the door and sealed it with the king's signet and departed. Verse 15. During the night, the priests came, as usual, with their wives and children, and they ate and drank everything. Verse 16. Early in the morning, the king rose and came, and Daniel was with him. The king said, "Are the seals unbroken, Daniel?" He answered, "They are unbroken, O king." Verse 18. As soon as the doors were opened, the king looked at the table and shouted in a loud voice, "You are great, O Bel, and in you there is no deceit at all." Verse 19. But Daniel laughed and restrained the king from going in. "Look at the floor," he said, "and notice whose footprints these are." Verse 20. The king said, "I see the footprints of men and women and children." Verse 21. Then the king was enraged, and he arrested the priests and their wives and children. They showed him the secret doors through which they used to enter to consume what was on the table. Therefore the king put them to death and gave Bel over to Daniel, who destroyed it and its temple. next subsection concerning the dragon. Daniel kills the dragon. Verse 23. Now in that place there was a great dragon. Now we don't know what that was, okay? Which the Babylonians revered. Some kind of creature, okay? Verse 24. The king said to Daniel, you cannot deny that this is a living God, so worship him. Verse 25. Daniel said, I worship Yahweh, my Elohim, for he is the living Elohim. Verse 26. But give me permission, O king, and I will kill the dragon without sword or club. The king said, I give you permission. Verse 27. Then Daniel took pitch, fat, and hair, and boiled them together and made cakes, which he fed to the dragon. The dragon ate them and burst open. Then Daniel said, see what you have been worshiping. Verse 28. When the Babylonians heard about it, they were very indignant and conspired against the king, saying, the king has become a Judean. Now, they have the word Jew in here. That's incorrect. The king has become a Judean. He has destroyed Baal and killed the dragon and slaughtered the priests. Verse 29. Going to the king, they said, hand Daniel over to us or else we will kill you and your household. Verse 30. The king saw that they were pressing him hard, and under compulsion, he handed Daniel over to them. Now, verse 31 and 32 here, the next subsection is Daniel in the lion's den. Verse 31 and 32, you can reference Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 16 through 24. Okay. Verse 31. They threw Daniel into the lion's den, and he was there for 6 days. Verse 32. There were 7 lions in the den, and every day they had been given 2 human bodies and 2 sheep. But now they were given nothing so that they would devour Daniel. Verse 33. Now the prophet Habakkuk was in Judea. He had made a stew and had broken bread into a bowl and was going into the field to take it to the reapers. But the messenger of Yahweh said to Habakkuk, take the food that you have to Babylon to Daniel in the lion's den. Habakkuk said, sir, I have never seen Babylon and I know nothing about the den. Verse 36. Then the messenger of Yahweh took him by the crown of his head and carried him by his hair with the speed of the wind. And it has, or by the power of his spirit, he set him down in Babylon right over the den. Verse 37. Then Habakkuk shouted, Daniel, Daniel, take the food that Elohim has sent you. Verse 38. Daniel said, you have remembered me, O Elohim, and have not forsaken those who love you. verse 39. So Daniel got up and ate. And the messenger of Elohim immediately returned Habakkuk to his own place. Verse 40. On the seventh day, the king came to mourn for Daniel. Because remember, he was a good friend. When he came to the den, he looked in, and there sat Daniel. Verse 41. The king shouted with a loud voice, "You are great, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Daniel, and there is no other besides you." Verse 42. Then he pulled Daniel out and threw into the den those who had attempted his destruction, and they were instantly eaten before his eyes. And that ends my little sojourn through the Apocrypha. Now, Maccabees, Pastor Eli and I are doing Maccabees. Okay? So I will post those shows on my website as well on the EFR site. And I will be going through Maccabees with Eli instead of my separate shows. All right. Now, I'm going to be getting into the New Testament, or the Brit Chadasha, the covenant which is new. Okay. Starting with Matthew, I will be doing that on the 8th of June. That will be the next show. The original New Testament was written in Hebrew. Okay, a lot of the books were written in Hebrew. But there's only fragments of those texts left. Now, we don't know what Rome has confiscated. We don't know what's hidden in Israel by the government. But what we have is just pieces and parts of scrolls and stuff of the Essens. So they have the Greek. And they have made the Septuagint. Septuagint, in some cases, a lot more accurate than the King James Version. I will be using the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research for my reading, and I will be doing the references with other scriptures. I'll be real honest with you, I have a huge set of books, research books, for Old and New Testament scripture. I have a lot of information. I have a lot of notes, so I will not be rushing through the New Testament. I will be taking my time. The New Testament is much smaller than the Old Testament and the Apocrypha. So I have through the Old Testament and Apocrypha, that's 392 shows. I will be going through the book of Matthew slowly enough that I can really get into the detail. There are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and they're not real long. Okay? They just aren't. I'll do a couple of chapters per show, but I will be doing intense note reading and word study that basically I'm noted for. That's what I do, because if you don't understand the original languages, they have played fast and loose with a lot of these translations. And it really is going to take somebody with some knowledge to explain a lot of these things so you don't get shortchanged. Okay? The studies that the churchianity people have done are very, very much in error. They have a lot of mistranslations. They have skewed the text to their agenda. And believe me, they have an agenda. And it's not good. It's not truthful. They have twisted so many things. Well, it's my job to correct that, and I'm going to give you references where you can look all this stuff up, because I want you to study along with me. Don't just take my word for it. That's what the Judeo-Christian churches do. Oh, they just take the word of this guy up on the pulpit. Well, Pastor Leibowitz wouldn't lie to you, would he? Really? Oh, say it ain't so. But we are going to have a good time. At least I hope you will. Because I'm really going to dissect it. When I finish with the New Testament sometime this year, I'm sure I'll finish in 2018 or early 2019, because I've said I'm not going to rush it. I may only do 2 chapters per show. I don't know. Depends on how complicated it is. I will really do my preparations before the show. When I finish it all, I've done the Old Testament, I've done the Apocrypha, now I'm going to do the New Testament. Then I will be doing just repeat shows. When everything's done, it'll be archived, and I will continue. Now, I'm doing repeats on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, for people that need to catch up, the show that I'm recording this on the 31st, the show that played today was Judges 9 and 10. Well, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'll be working through the book of Judges. Those are the archives, the older shows. When everything's done, then I will start all the shows. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday will be repeats. I will continue with my wake-up call sermons weekly. I'm going to be doing a show with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Pastor Eli on Fridays. Friday evenings, I do Yahweh's Covenant People, and I'm also doing a video with Eli with someone else. Then Bloodlines on Sunday. So it's not like I'm not going to be active. My duties at EFR, I will be managing some of the shows. When they're recorded, they are sent to me and I put them into the archives if they are sent to me on time. Scheduling the repeats, you know, I'm very, very, very busy. But when I finish this year, it's going to lighten my load quite a bit. That will be 3 live recordings I don't have to do. They will all be done. All I have to do is schedule them. I will schedule them month by month. I'm not getting any younger, okay? Be real honest. And my workload right now is the heaviest it's ever been. It is a labor of love. I think EFR is making a big difference with the emails that I get and the postings and the comments elsewhere. We're really making a dent, which pleases me greatly. Eli said he had this thing going out here when I was still locked up, and he said I would be part of it, and he had no idea how big of a part, because I took to it like a duck to water, and it has been a joy and a pleasure and a labor of love. And we'll keep it going as long as we can keep it going. Unless they kick my door in and fill me full of holes just for speaking the truth. Well, you know, there's that risk. But I certainly hope that you have enjoyed the effort that I have put into these shows. I have tried to be thorough and not gloss over anything, and educate you as I was educated with all the years of study that I have done, to try to pass that on. You are my kindred, okay? My brothers and sisters. And you believe in Father Yahweh as I do, and you deserve the very best that I can give to you as far as studies. So I have endeavored to do that. Well, I'm going to play a little bit of music here. I got a little over 10 minutes. That gives you an idea of what's coming up in the New Testament. I will get started on that for the show on Friday. May Yahweh bless and keep all of you. It's been a pleasure. And I'll talk to you again on Friday. There'll be a wake-up call tomorrow. This is a Wednesday show here. And we'll start in on the 8th in the book of Matthew. Praise Yahweh.
with the Lord like I used to. It's like temptation's got a hold of me. Then I cry at night cause I ought to. And the praise to him I hold, I'm on my bended knee. From the road I chose to raise my family. And the more I learned forgiveness, the less I saw of grief. And the more I watched his children, in their eyes I saw his light. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the ride. Well, I want to walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on, hold on, enjoy the ride. I did my time, I paid some heavy dues. And I often wonder why I did the things I do. For the Lord holds all the answers to my questions, come what may. We're gonna talk about them soon, show me the way. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Well, now the final curtain will be seen. Now it's time to say goodbye to this way of life I've been. So bury me in the cold hard ground, I'll travel through the sky. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the ride. Well, I want to walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on, hold on, enjoy the ride. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on, hold on, enjoy the ride. Get on, hold on, I'll walk.
Soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into
hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.